بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إياكم والجلوس في الطرقات فقالوا يا رسول الله ما لنا من مجالسنا بد نتحدث فيها فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإذا أبيتم إلى المجلس فأعطوا الطريق حقه قالوا وما حق الطريق يا رسول الله قال غض البصر وكف الأذى ورد السلام والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر متفق عليه. Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, beware of sitting in the pathways where people are moving, public are using the road. So in the pathways, do not sit in the pathways. Beware of sitting in the pathways. So Sahaba mentioned, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have no other alternative but to sit in those pathways because we discuss. The discussions of Sahaba were not like dunyawi discussions that we have. We chit-chat about the worldly affairs. They used to sit in many other narrations, it has been mentioned, and waqiyas, where Sahaba would sit together in the public place and discuss aspects of deen. For example, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala makes wudu, and he tells the Sahaba, this is how Rasulullah performed ablution, this is how he made wudu. So they would have these discussions. It was important for them to have these type of gatherings. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned, if you have no other alternative but to use the pathways, then fulfill the right of the pathways. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then asked, Sahaba asked, وَمَا حَقُّ الطَّرِيقِ, what is the right of the pathways? I mean, even pathways have rights. So Rasulullah explained, غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ, lowering the gaze. When we are coming out into a public place, communal place, there'll be many people using those areas. Therefore, Sharia tells us to lower our gaze. A person should not cast a lustful glance and gaze to any non-mahram person. So by lowering the gaze, you are fulfilling the right of the road. Allah Ta'ala is protecting us from zina of the eyes. Then, وَرَدُّ السَّلَامِ, if somebody makes salam to you, then you should then respond and say, وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامِ. So, returning the salam, that's the second right. The third right, وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَكَفُّ الْأَذَى, and removing some harmful object. Somebody sees some glass, some bottle, something that's going to hurt some person, then remove that harmful object from the path. This is the right the path, the road has over us. So lowering the gaze, removing some harmful object, and responding to the salam when the person makes salam to you. وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and enjoining good. Telling somebody some good words, some good things, some good action. You spurring him on, encouraging him to do something good. And this is not difficult at all. وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and this is what we're discussing, at stopping somebody from something which is evil. And I mentioned the three ways of doing it. The highest of the category is when a person does it physically, however, with diplomacy and when you have the authority to do so. And if you are unable to have the authority and the power to physically change some evil, then you speak with your tongue. And even if you're not able to have this in your life, you're unable to do this, then at least feel the pain in your heart and make the firm intention that when I do get that opportunity, I will try and change that munkar. Or speak to some other person who has the power and the strength and authority, who will do it in a diplomatic way, not chasing away the person away from deen, but in a nice way to change that munkar and evil. If nahi al munkar does not take place, then we will find the community will continue and more people will do the haram, and Allah Ta'ala's then azab then comes. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى خاتما من ذهب في يد رجل فنزعه فطرحه وقال يعمد أحدكم إلى جمرة من نار فيجعلها في يده فقيل للرجل بعدما ذهب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خذ خاتمك انتفع به قال لا والله لا أخذه أبدا وقد طرحه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رواه مسلم. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a gold ring, a pure gold ring in the hand of a sahabi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then pulled out that gold ring and he threw it down. Gold rings, pure gold, it is not permissible for the men of this ummah to wear. Gold and silk is only permissible for the women folk. For the men it is haram. Whether it's a gold bracelet, whether it's a gold ring, these are all haram for the men of this ummah to wear. So Rasulullah SAW pulls out that gold ring and he throws it onto the floor. And then Rasulullah SAW says that some of you, they intend putting a piece of coal, a brand of coal from Jahannam onto the finger. In other words, he likened this gold ring to a coal, a brand of fire. After this, so this person, after the Rasulullah went away, somebody tells this Sahabi, they pick up this gold ring and use it for some other use. Maybe you can melt it and do something else with it. Use it for something else. You don't have to wear it as a ring. Or give it to somebody, give it to your wife, whatever it may be. So this Sahabi replied. He says that Allah's Qasam, I will never do so. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed it from my finger and he threw it onto the floor, I will never pick it up. In other words, I won't go against my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though it would have been permissible for him to take it and use it for some other benefit, give it to some other person. But this much of respect he had for the teaching of deen and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from this hadith we saw that Rasulullah made nahi anil munkar. He had that authority, he had that position, he was the greatest Nabi or Nabi of this ummah. So he had that authority to pull out the gold ring and throw it onto the floor. You and I don't have that authority. If we do have the authority, explanation again, you're the ustad of the pupil, you're the sheikh of the murid, you're the father of the son, you're the mother of the son, you're the uncle, you're a well-respected person, people look up to you. In that case, if you did it, there's no problem. But you and I, we just take somebody else's gold ring from his finger and throw it onto the floor, pull it out of the ring, we'll have more problems. Yes, you can go and explain to him that Sharia does not condone such things, it's not permissible, that's a different matter. Nonetheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba, the moment Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was naraz about something, he was displeased, then immediately they brought it into their lives. And he said, I'm not going to pick up this gold ring even. When my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually threw it down, he discarded it, he did not like it, he was displeased with me wearing it, therefore I'm not even going to go towards it, I'm not going to pick it up and use it. Like this, there was another incident where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba were going and they saw a building, a home with a raised dome. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not happy to have all these fanciful structures and there was no zarurat for it, there was no need for it, a dome on the roof of this person's house. He asked, who does he belong to? Sahaba said, li fulan, it belongs to a certain Sahabi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say anything. فَحَمَلَهَا فِي نَفْسِهِ He just kept quiet, remained silent. But when this Sahabi happened to come, then he makes salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns away. فَعَرَضَ عَنْهُ Sahabi goes again, makes salam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns away. Several times it happens. Then the Sahabi understands that something is not right. He goes to the other Sahaba. I see Rasulullah behaving differently towards me. I've done something wrong. So he said, no, he asked that who does this, how whom belong to, this dome structure. So we said, it belongs to you. So immediately he goes and he raises it to the ground. He destroys it. He demolishes that dome. Some days later, Rasulullah and Sahaba are going past, and when he sees, what happened to this dome? So they said, no, this Sahabi, immediately he went in, he raised it to the ground, he destroyed it. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in did not wait. The moment Rasulullah taught them something, immediately they brought it into their life. You and I will look for excuses and look for fatwas to see how it can become permissible, how we can make it permissible. This should not be our jazba, this should not be our feelings. The moment we hear something from Quran and Hadith, of course, understand it correctly, properly, ask an alim if I understood it correctly, and then make amal. Sahaba, immediately they would go towards amal of the akhirat. May Allah give all of us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar correctly, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah.